were the ones who love you so. Be a shoulder to cry on when you're in need. They'll never leave you alone, no.
When your friends bring you down
and they drag you through the dirt,
and when nobody's around,
they'll carry you through the hurt. Just remember that family comes first.
Just remember,
good morning. Like always, it's a joy and a pleasure to come your way every Saturday morning. I trust you and your loved ones are doing well wherever you are listening to us from. We're still rolling on the Heritage Month, and today we want to have a conversation about love brewed in the Ghanaian pot. What is our context? What is our content? How do we communicate? How do we engage? How do we express love? Generally, and romantic love specifically, as Ghanaian men and as Ghanaian women. Is there anything unique to us, or we are just like anybody else anywhere in the world? Are there cultural aspects of what we do and do not do? How do we understand love? How do we give love? Love brewed in the Ghanaian pot. We are still mindful of all our international audience, and so we trust that you still pick some good points from this conversation, and you can also perhaps share with us how different Love Building the Ghanaian Pot is from that of your culture, and we're pleased to learn and to share. And you can also share with us this morning what your concept of the Ghanaian dynamics of love is on 0549986996. Again, 0549986996. Love brewed in the African, in the Ghanaian Pot. How is it? What is it? We will take a short break. My name is Michael Mensah. We'll take a short break and we'll be right back. Please stick and stay.
City 97.3. Accra. City 97.3. More variety.
Wale mabono e fonko bogbeno enyela yito iketamo e kokura nyabano mawobo e wale mabono e fonko bogbeno enyela yito iketamo e kokura nyabano maho shele fenshona shia enyela yito iketamo Eko kuranya bano, enye la yito ike kamo e. Eko kuranya bano, come on.
Mawobo he wale mawono, e fonko baobeno, enye la yito ike kamo. Eko kuranya bano, mawobo he wale mawono,
e fonko baobeno,
e fonko baobeno, enye la yito ike kamo. Eko kuranya.
Ma wajepo, ma hushele fenshona shia. Enye la yito iketamo e.
Eko kuranya bano.
Enye la yito iketamo e.
Eko kuranya bano.
Hey, I am the Lord. Come on.
The one who keep her deep.
Yeah, that's Hewale Lala by Perez Music. Thank you, Perez. Finally, I'm not able to do the full Ghana interpretation, but it's like God is something. My mind is blank. Anyway, love brewed in the Ghanaian pot. How does love brewed in the Ghanaian pot look like to you? How does love brewed in the Ghanaian pot steam and boil and cook? What do you think about it? Let's hear your thoughts about how Ghanaians love on 0549986996 again. 0549986996. We hope today we'll be able to open the phone lines early. And if we do, kindly keep your conversation short and succinct. So let's hear the piece of music and then we'll be right back.
Papa Shita Kojimba, a Madame Lias Rotwe, a Pantu Kampima, Yelehuna Kainong, Pasa Jokele Bleko, Eka Febwa Kefe Kumi, Yemli Srotwe, 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 Yemli. A de boni bi fiales rotwe emli. Srotwe emli. E emli srotwe, srotwe, srotwe emli. Mangomli asrotwe, kwaya benoke dodoa. Akutumli asrotwe, tiche manteke bisa. Akwadu una kainong, adukrom kakrokon. Eko fenko kena ngomo, eyemli srotwe, 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 srotwe yemli. Adeboni bifiale srotwe yemli. Srotwe yemli. Emily Srotwe Babao Srotwe Emily.
All right, so that's King Bruce saying Srotwe Emily. Trying to say that there are differences and variations and types, even when it comes to a particular kind of fruit or product. He describes that of plantain, yam, and banana and plantain and what have you. So is that the case that life food in African, in the Ghanaian pot, has different varieties and compositions and styles and tastes and scents and smells? Well, I want to begin with this lovely lady whose voice we have been heard here for a while, and we are happy and blessed to have her. Good morning, Marie.
Good morning. So how are you?
I'm good. So that's the voice of Mrs. Myros Saki, MRS. I'm going to begin with her. Love brewed in the Ghanaian pot. Is Ghanaian love any different from the kind of love anywhere else in the world? What do you think?
Oh, love in itself.
Yes.
Is the same.
Right.
In fact, what love is supposed to be is the same all over. But every culture, every place, or the different places in the world, they express their love in different ways, express and accept their love in different ways. And I guess it will be the same for Ghana or Ghanaians. We have our own kind of, or we have our way of expressing our love, or expressed our love, if I should say, because now things are changing. Things are changing so fast. And Ghanaians are picking other cultures in expressing their love. But what I would say is that the typical Ghanaian love that we knew when we were growing up is expressed, or was expressed, a bit differently than we see in today's world or in the modern times.
Really so?
Yes, I think so.
Okay.
I think so. Even though there are certain base behaviors or attitudes or expressions that might not have changed, but it's changing drastically. I mean, for example, you know, now even when people date forever in the name of love, people when they're proposing love to a lady or something like that, they'll go on their knees and all those kind of... It's not a Ghanaian culture.
Okay, so...
It wasn't a Ghanaian...
So we have,
it has not been
we
a
have
Ghanaian
imported
culture.
It.
So we imported, you know.
Is it a good import, by the way?
I can't judge whether it's good or bad. Okay. It's an individual thing. I mean, if you want to kneel, if you want to stand, if you want to lie, whatever. It's your own way, you know. Out there, people do skydiving and all that, too. Express their love. They do risky things to express their love, but we haven't reached there yet. But now I see that the young ones are doing all sorts of things to express their love to each other. But basically, I would say that a connection, you know, where the chemistry and stuff like that, it hasn't changed much. Because when you see somebody and you like the person, it is a different story.
Yeah, okay.
Before you go on to try and woo the person into your net.
To see whether it will become or not.
It not, yes.
You know, back in the day, it was when it came to the element of love being expressed in marriage, it was to a certain point the case that families even sometimes chose a spouse
for somebody. Yes. It's a point that maybe other
people know
about later.
But now it appears people are largely finding. Does that align with what you are saying about a shift, a realignment? So is it a traditional flowing with or against the contemporary? Is that really the case?
Yeah, there's a saying that nowadays, I don't know, it's not a saying, acceptable saying, but I know people say that those days that were choosing for you,
yes,
you stayed in marriage all your lives.
Mm.
Now that you're going out there finding yourself, within 3 months, 1 year, you divorce.
Yes.
That is the difference. Recently, I was reading something and I came across the fact that the love has to... I think it was a question about the fact that whether we have to fall in love or before marriage, or love can be developed or grown,
okay,
in marriage or relationship.
Okay.
You know, that, I mean, is it that, I think the person was trying to say, do you have to feel all the butterflies and the chemistry and all that, and I'm in love, I can't sleep and all that, before you marry? Or you can, somebody's introduced to you and you can get to know the person and gradually grow the love.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those two questions.
Okay.
In the light of sustaining the marriage.
Yes.
Because sometimes people see themselves, this person, when I see him, I can't sleep, I like the blah, blah, blah. And other people have been introduced to others, and they saw them, they were like, oh, he's not really my type, or she's not really my type, but let's see. And gradually, the love evolves. As you relate to each other, you get to know who the person is. You get to know certain qualities that drops well on you. So you decide, you take a decision to love the person. And in deciding to love the person, you... how do you call it? Love, the natural thing, gradually grows because attitudes, habits, behaviors, and all that contribute. Like the way some people's love can wane, their love can go off. You might love the person, but later on, because of certain attitudes, behavior, and all that, then the love will fly away like
so,
a bird.
Yeah. So could it be? Is it possible that when they were bringing the woman or choosing a spouse for a man in that case, care was taken in identifying who the person was, his or her character? Like in those times, they used to say that. I mean, you don't just get married and as a flimsy thing, but you need to be sure where you are going and who you are getting married to. So could it be that because it was based more on the issue of character than on the issue of emotion, that may also have accounted for why now, because now you find the person, something about him or her draws you. You like the way she speaks, you like the lot of money she has, like the way she's a go-getter, or you like the way he or she does something, or maybe the tiaps or the shape or something that draws you to her or to him, and then you want to hit it on without paying particular attention to the character or the nature of the person. Could that be a factor as well?
I think so. Because You know, those days, even if you found your own love, your family, and I think some people still do. It hasn't really faded away completely. Okay. The Ghanaian thing or the culture, our culture concept of marriage has not faded away completely. They would, the family would want to know the background of the person.
Mm.
Where is he coming from? What home? The whatever. But that becomes like a, when it comes tribalistic thing, when people start choosing. But largely they look at who the person is, what family is coming from, whether it's a family of good people or family with issues, you know, and all that. Some people look at it. Some people ignore it. Some people who be in question, like the those who want to marry or whatever, sometimes their family might suggest things to them and they will not listen and they'll go ahead and do their own thing. Mm-hmm. And it works out for them. Others go ahead and do their own thing and it doesn't work out for them. So it's there. It's there where families still try to help. But I think that when you dwell too much on the emotion, it becomes too fleeting, you know, because life is not all about emotions. You have to use your brains, if I should say. You should use your conscience. You should be conscious about whatever you're doing. You have to, when it comes to love relationships, like somebody say, don't just fall in love, stand in love, or use your head. You get what I mean? Don't just listen to heart, your heart, because sometimes it's like, oh, your heart is beating and all this emotion. And then when the emotion is too much, you don't tend to see certain things that you have to see until you are in. Then you realize that, oh, maybe I should have seen this, I should have seen that. And then it becomes a big issue in another sense. So I will say both are good. You need both the emotion and the conscience, or, you know, a decisive intended plan. But if it's not, then we have to look at it well, because the question of late, a lot of people are asking, how come? Some people explain that those people in the past, those who stayed in marriages for a long time, even if it was bad marriage, they just endured. It was just an abuse, and they didn't know their rights, or maybe like all these. Rights and whatever thing that has been pushed out there to people, that you have a right to this, you have a right to that, you have a right to that. Maybe at the time it was not there, or it was not really fully functional. So people just endured or allowed anything to happen to them. And so they just stayed. And you know how they tell you, this small thing, that, oh, forget, oh, just stay, oh, don't say anything, you know, that kind of thing. Children of today, we are teaching them to be assertive, and so they wouldn't take anything. And that's how we have brought them up to be. So it makes it a little bit different, or a little bit difficult. And they think that they should have a say in what matters in their life. So your parents can just tell you that you cannot do this, and then you expect them to take it 100% or take it hook, line, and sinker. They will challenge it. They will try and explain it and defend it in any way they can.
Okay.
Yeah. But so I think the emotional part of today is hurting this whole love thing. There's good in... that's my personal view. I think that there's good in when our parents also went out there to do some kind of search or helped us make good decisions, because they say experience is the best teacher. They have experienced that life. They knew what it was or it had been, and they could advise you. That's the reason why there's need even for premarital counseling and all these kind of things. When you meet, you can't just meet somebody and not ever even talk about that relationship with any elder before getting into marriage. It's never possible. Whether the person is in your family or not your family member, okay, you would definitely want to talk to some adult about it, that I found this person, you know, and how do I go about it? Okay. Unlike out there where people can just, even they have drive-through marriages, you go and then the priest is in the window and will pronounce the whatever on you and you become man and wife. So it is still a little bit different here, even though we are copying out there. But our cultural one, or the Ghanaian type of love, holds a lot of substance, if I should say. Yeah.
All right. Thank you. And you look lovely in your red dress. So.
Thank
now let
you.
Me turn my attention to the gentleman in the house. Mr. Sylvester Segwaya, you heard all that Marie has said so far and how far we have come. Is it a cultural thing that our love and our expressions of it generally differ from that of others when it comes to romantic love, boy meets girl? Are we expressive? Are we romantic? Marie mentioned that some people go on bended knees and offer a ring and say, will you marry me? I won't tell you what I did when I was proposing. But what do you think also about this whole thing? The Ghanaian concept of love brewed in the Ghanaian pot.
All right. So thank you, Mickey, and good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, well, I think culture plays a lot of an important role in how we express love. You know, the environment you grow up in or you find yourself greatly influences the things you do, your choices, and all of that. And I like the fact that Marie started with the elements of the family's involvement. So, again, in our part of the world, we are not that very expressive when it comes to demonstrating love. Of course, that is changing significantly, I mean, in recent times. But I don't think I ever grew up seeing my mother and father hold their hands, you know. So that, I mean, even though I know that holding hands is a beautiful way of expressing or demonstrating or showing to your partner your love and all of that, you know. So we are heavily molded by what we observe and also what we admire. If you're proposing, do you go on your knees? Do you buy a present? Do you go on a solitary walk and decide to make the proposal? They are all choices individuals make, you know, and the choices are influenced by what people's dreams are. I think that today, one of the things that has greatly influenced the things people do is what they watch. Okay. And I would say for the young people, we've had all these telenovelas showing us all kinds of things. So over time, there's a generation that has grown to know nothing else but telenovelas. There was a generation that knew Osofodazi.
Yes, you.
And Osofodazi showed us a lot of things also that was typically Ghanaian culture.
Yes.
Okay. The good, the bad, and the ugly, you know. But there was a lot of Ghanaian culture in there, and that influenced the way we did things, the choices we made there, the way we expressed love and all of that. So that exposure we cannot wish away. And so beyond what people are watching, if you want your children to have a particular, what we are calling a Ghanaian way of expressing love, you literally will need to nurture them to appreciate our culture. And I think one of the beautiful things we are doing this month is Heritage Month. A number of radio stations are telling the Ghanaian story, you know, what that does to us is it helps people appreciate why we do certain things. You know, a lot of times we don't understand why certain things are done. And we quickly rule them off or judge them as good or bad. But if someone gives you the background, the explanation to why a particular thing is done, then you actually appreciate it a lot more, you know. And that education plays an important role in shaping and molding our choices, you know. So I would say that we will get the present generation and the future generations to hold on to the positives of our Ghanaian way of expressing love as we continually teach, explain, demonstrate, and help them to understand why certain things were done. For instance, why will your parents send a search party to check on the family of the person you have brought home, you know? We made to understand that, I mean, just beyond issues of character, they even looked at things like whether there were mental diseases in the family of the person you are choosing. Of course, I mean, there might have been some spirituality attached to it as to whether it's an evil spirit or a whatever, you know. But they looked at all of that. I mean, at least it tells you that they understood science in their own way, you know. And then there's this, the element of reputation. Sorry, I'm digressing a bit. You know, does this person come from a good home? A good home means character. But it also means there are people that are respected. They do the right things. Not necessarily really respected because they have money. No, but they are well-behaved. Their contribution to society in terms of education, the values they uphold and all of that are critical to any family that wants to make a good choice for their child.
So to cut, sorry to cut in that, looking at what now happens, that I find you, I love you, we love each other, we are committed, and then later I'll discover there are flaws in character, the family of origin dimensions have a strong bearing, the person does not see some things wrong with some things that are fundamentally out of sort. Was that what this system of our traditional outlook sought to correct?
I want to believe so. You know, again, I mean, if I met a lady and I was interested in her and she was equally interested in me, we don't immediately say, okay, we're going to the altar, we're getting married next week. You know, that's the whole essence of courtship. Your period of courtship is just to appreciate what kind of character the person has, what the person's values are. Is the person a gentleman or a lady? By your own definition of gentleman and lady, okay, you know, and is the person kind? Is the person accommodating? Is the person patient? Or he has a temper? He's irritable and all of that. I mean, you have your preferences, and we're all very different. So, you know, I've met people who are like, no, you're too gentle. They don't want gentle people. They want aggressive men. You know, Uncle Evo White's playlist recently talked about, I showed the little girl who said to the gentleman who was trying to marry the mother or something that you are too gentle. Women don't always like gentle people. I found that so hilarious. But that's the reality. There are people that just don't want gentle people. They want... aggressive people, maybe not necessarily aggressive in the wrong way, but bold, loud, courageous, and visible, strong. Courageous. I mean, well, you can be courageous and still be quiet, gentle. Yes, exactly. Strong, yeah.
Outgoing.
Yeah. So our preferences just vary so much. So yes, families want to be sure that you're getting married to somebody that does not pose a danger to you, because ultimately, I mean, you marry to somebody and 2 weeks down the line you are home because he's beating you, yeah, or he has habits that do not resonate with you. He brings friends home to sleep and he doesn't understand any, he doesn't find anything wrong with it. Yeah. He's out there late into the night. You have talked about it so many times, like, what's wrong with you? I'm taking care of you. I bought you everything you want, you know. And you're like, I didn't marry the television, I married you, you know. So all of those things matter, and that's why families are interested. And again, I'm even though today the generation seem to be looking at, oh, this is my decision, yes, it's your decision, but your decision must be guided, you know. The Bible says, and the multitude of counselors, there's safety. So that guidance cannot be overlooked, you know. And sometimes it could be a little difficult, especially when your parents are seeing traits in the person you've brought home that are not very positive, you know. You've got to reflect critically. Unfortunately, most of the time, when these things are brought out, you are so madly in love that you are not thinking straight.
So it's just opposition, not
exactly. You're like, oh yeah, I knew they will criticize, I knew they will say this, I knew they will say this. But just pausing to reflect is very helpful. I don't subscribe to the issues along, I mean, the elements of selection along tribal lines, and a few other things, simply because we got to appreciate the fact that we are all human beings and created by God, the same maker. So irrespective of where the person comes from, if the person's beliefs align with your beliefs, I think that is a very critical and an important part of the elements that drive you to your decision. You know, of course, we've talked about character, we've talked about reputation, sicknesses in the family, all of that. But it's important that the two of you share the same beliefs. You know, that's why intercultural marriages are great, as long as your beliefs are aligned, you know. But where you are divergent in what you believe, that could become a major element of dispute and contention. Again, I mean, if you're marrying someone who believes in polygamy and you believe in monogamy, that could be an issue, because well, he's expecting that he'll marry two more wives in addition to you. You're like, well, as far as I'm concerned, it's one man, one wife, and one woman, one husband. So you've got to have convergence on those issues at a very early stage. One of the things I've noticed these days is that people don't ask questions. They just say, oh, falling in love. Oh, he's a nice guy. She's a beautiful lady. She's intelligent. She's smart. She's got a good job. She's got things going for him. And I like him. I want to marry him. I love her. I want to marry her. That is too short-sighted. Pardon my being that blunt. But that's the reality. Because you need to sit down and ask each other questions. What are your aspirations in life? What do you cherish? What are the things you value? What is important to you? What is your family like? Talking about your family, there are people who have married, and when you ask them, oh, where does your husband come from? They don't know. Where does your wife come from? They say, oh, I see Ofi Crowe, so and to wait, he says he's from this town. I don't even really know the place. You know, I don't think that is good enough. It's true that many people have been brought up in the cities and they don't even know their own hometowns. But it's good to know where your spouse comes. And there are people who don't even know the relatives of the people they married.
Exactly.
You know, and that is dangerous, you know, because you come from a family, whether you love your family or not, that family, and that's what really comes to play when people die. That's when you see how much the family has power, you know, because they say the body is ours.
Yes, the body is for the family.
You know, and so we shouldn't wish our families away. We must cherish our families, must understand what the family's values are, and we must actually espouse them. Of course, if they are all positive, whatever family values are not positive, I don't encourage people to endorse them and hold fast to them.
Mm-hmm.
So those would be my quick thoughts on these ones.
Awesome. So let me come to Marina. You know, we are looking at the Ghanaian context of love, and we have started from the traditional, and now we are inching into the contemporary, where a person sees, meets, and falls in love or gets connected to. How are we supposed to help the younger generation or those coming forth to, as it were, not lose this specific cultural positivity when it comes to, like Sly said, you don't know anything about a person. He or she does not talk about her family. The family doesn't need to be great or known or popular. But those, you don't know, I mean, one thing we, you know, we've growing up, your friends come home. You visit your friends. They're not coming because of a relationship, as in a romantic relationship, but the bond of friendship,
yeah.
And through that one, you get to know the other person's family, you get to meet their siblings, mm-hmm. you get to know even the culture in the home.
Yeah.
And those things become guides in themselves. Yeah. Of course, now people live far apart. People are in a different location from their parents. People may have traveled and schooling out, and they meet somebody mm-hmm. or working out. So the dynamics are different. But is it the case that you marry somebody by marrying the person into a family? And so the new or younger generation need to have a certain mindset of not throwing away any and every suggestion, recommendation, or admonishment that their parents give. And how can we bring in the traditional concept of the Ghanaianness in love to the contemporary context where I have made a choice? And of course, it's your choice. You should choose. You are going to live with a person for the rest of your life. But is it should be considered as interference when parents or older siblings or even younger siblings bring in a note of caution or information? What do you think, Marie?
Yeah, I mean, the first thing I'd want to say regarding our traditional culture is Ghanaians are extended family system people.
Okay.
We believe in extended family. We don't do the nuclear family thing. Me, myself, my children, and then that's the we extended family people. You deal with me, sorry, you, your spouse, your children, your siblings, that's your siblings on the father's side, siblings on the mother's side, you know, grandparents on both sides, and then it goes on cousins. So we have we have big families.
Yeah.
It's amazing. I have had some interaction with young people in SHS, in the university, and you ask them, where do you come from? They don't know where they come from. And my heart aches. What are these parents teaching their children? Are they shy of where they come from? Why is it that a child is grown, a teenager, and they don't know where they come from? People always say this, when you go to America and you find a Chinese, that's why they, even when you go to some countries, you realize they still have Chinatown in that country. They will speak their language. They will eat their food. They will do the things that they do in their country, in the other country. You know, from their own country, they go and practice the same thing in wherever foreign country that they are in. But Ghanaians tend to shy away from who we are. We don't want to express where we come from. I don't know whether we feel that it's demeaning or something. But I'm really happy, like Sylvester said, with this Heritage Month thing, we have to do it more and more. It's teaching, so the parents who are not teaching their children at least can't even pick things on the media now, because they learn a lot from the media, social media, whatever. At least it will make them aware of things like that, and let them ask questions, leading questions, to help them find some of these things, you know. Because when you look at our situation in terms of marriage, and all these things. They say when you marry a man or you marry a woman in our Ghana here, you marry a family. You don't marry an individual. Because you love your siblings, don't you?
Yeah, I do. Very much.
And everybody loves the siblings. And you have a certain kind of relationship with your siblings. If the siblings are really bonded, sometimes you'll be there and your sibling can come home. And, you know, they want to have fun.
Mm.
And then you've married somebody who is not into siblings. Who doesn't believe in those things. And it creates problem. It creates big, big problem. Because we have not taught our children to accept things like that. Maybe... Well, they might have their own dysfunctional homes, in quotes, with upbringing and all that, or they've been raised as individuals and they don't know how to socialize and all that kind of thing. But I think that when we understand where we are coming from, it makes it easier to define what you would want or where you are going in terms of marriage and all that. Because you can't just wake up one day, you found somebody, you think you are in love, whatever, and not think of all the other groups involved.
Mm.
In fact, it's not only your family. You have to think about the person that you are looking forward to having in your life.
Mm.
You have to also think about where he's coming from and his people.
Okay.
Or her people.
Okay.
You don't just look at only the two of you, because it's not going to be about just the two of you. It is beyond that. Sometimes you'll be there. Okay, you wanted to ask a question.
I was going to ask that. Is it that the contemporary dynamics is breaking down the family system so much to the point that the individual's preferences and choices is what holds sway, as against initially you involve your parents or your family in some actions and decisions you make, you know? Because now, as it even currently now, some people would speak to their pastor first about somebody they intend to marry than their parents, and I find that out of sorts. You know, have we imbibed it in the wrong dimension? Or is it because homes have actually become so dysfunctional over time that now people don't have any parent figure in their life, so they have to either run to the church or to any religious leader and seek counsel or advice, or because the value systems have become so different that they think that whatever I say, I'll be opposed. So they come with that prejudiced mindset. What do you think?
It's a mix of so many things. It's a mix of so many. It could be the the function at home.
Mm-hmm.
How parents, if you're a parent and you have played a role as a parent,
mm-hmm.
and done the things that you have to do and have the right relationship with your children, as you should,
yes.
Having that interaction, having that understanding, that they bounce to you whatever that is on their minds,
mm.
and you've had that kind of cordial relationship, I don't think that they'll go to a pastor or somebody else. You know, definitely you get to know what is happening in their lives before somebody else gets to know.
Mm.
And when it's too much and you can't handle, then maybe you can refer to a third party. But the contemporary situation, I think, and these days we've been discussing some of these things, that even when you go to the things that we are supposedly trying to say, we are modernizing and changing and all that kind of, yes, we have extreme issues in, you know, sometimes our traditional system carried things to some extreme levels, which doesn't really make sense.
Mm-hmm.
So those ones, yes, we can look at it and then modify it,
mm.
or try and cut out some things. But the real essence, like you're saying, you said earlier, the real essence of why we do certain things must be made clear.
Mm.
When because now there's, they say, where knowledge abounds, it helps the people, you know. So when people don't understand what they are doing, and especially in this modern time that people are, you know,
knowledge based,
and information is all over the place, you cannot just tell somebody do this and expect that the person would, well, the person, even if a child can ask you, why should I do it? Yeah. So when the person is doing it and the person understands why he or she would have to do whatever he's doing, it makes it much, much easier. But in the case where we shroud, you know, many times in our culture, in our tradition, we shroud things in secrecy and it's a mysticism and whatever, you know, spirituality, everything. Maybe it's just to put fear in you, then they'll make the whole thing sound some kind of way, like somebody would say. You know, it becomes, yes, becomes scary, very scary, cumbersome, and everything. And people don't want to embrace that. And I think that is what is making a lot of us push our tradition. And when you talk culture, you know, I was once talking to a friend, I said, oh, for some time now in my house, birthdays, we do otto. Okay. And with egg. And this person, Otto, yeah, it's never happened in my house. No. And I could see, because the person has twins, and I'm sure when she had twins, they wanted her to do certain traditional things. And some people see Otto as
linked to spirituality.
Yes.
In a certain negative way.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. In a certain negative way. But what is cake? Cake is somebody else's culture we have expression. Adapted Cottage. That we have somebody's done over the years.
Cultural expression.
Yeah. Yes.
Of celebration on your birthday.
On your birthday. But ours, that's how we did it.
Yeah.
So why don't we do that?
Yeah.
So if I'm hearing you right, I think that the mysticism or spiritism or spiritual underpinnings and interpretations that we've attached to some of our practices or norms have kind of influenced why contemporary folks are moving away from it. Because then, based on their belief systems or faith, they consider that to be animistic or have a negative undertone to it.
Yes.
Whilst in actual fact, maybe it is just a celebration that is being done locally.
Mm-hmm.
Am I getting
yes,
right?
Yes, yes, yes. So those are some of the things. So if we can cut all this kind of extreme interpretations and all that and try to make the motive or spell out the concepts well for people to understand, I think they will embrace it and work with it.
Okay.
People see the other countries or other cultures' style of love, whatever, very simplistic. And who doesn't want a simple way of doing things? So they just go for it.
Okay.
If you love somebody, I was talking to some young folks who were saying that these days, even the girls, because when we're growing up, we were told, you don't show a guy that you love a guy must come to you.
Okay.
But now they don't believe that
assertiveness.
They think that if you like a guy, you should let him go and Charlie, I check you out.
You must go for it.
Go for it, you know, okay. and stuff like that. So things are changing, but how fast is it changing, or the change? How is it going to end? Is it going to give us a good result or not good result? At least from the few in the recent past, you can see that, yes, you have your will to choose and all that, but it's not giving us a good result. We see a lot of heartbreaks, broken homes and all that, which impact society. Because when you have a lot of single parents, you have children coming from broken homes and all that, too many of them, it spells out some issues with mental health, where people get depressed, people get into all sorts of situations. And so we need to revise our way of, or our understanding of marriage. And I think we are suffering a lot of these things too, because we are copying blindly.
Okay.
We are copying what we don't understand. We don't really understand very well.
Are we losing, or have we lost our Ghanaian identity?
It depends.
In some aspects,
yes. In others, I think we are holding very fast to them.
My concern in all of this is that development is important and necessary. Development brings convenience, brings speed, brings order, brings enlightenment, brings all the things that you want to see. But development also can have its negative dimensions. And if you study the development process of various societies, continents, nations, you realize that sometimes when we live out the core values of the positive nature aspects of our culture, what the fallback becomes is something that we did not bargain for. In other words, the unexpected outcomes sometimes have such strong and negative underpinnings. Let me give an example. The family structure, the family system. In the advanced societies, they are all in homes, or most of them are in homes, because both parents are working. Even their children are in crèches as early as 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
So there's nobody available or able to care for the aging parents. So they have to be in hospice and what have you. So naturally now, the definition of family has become extremely nuclear, and not just nuclear. The moment you are of age, you start your family, and there's little linkage. That's why even to visit your dad or your mom to come over to your place, they must give you prior notice. And if they don't, for some people, they will not even open the door for you. Mm-hmm. You get me? So what I'm trying to say is that those things that have kept us, the community, I think we spoke about that last week, the element of community, the element of shared values, of due consideration, because we are losing it in the name of development, it's all adding up to this new dimension of a new perspective of love, which does not endure, does not commit, does not look at the full picture. It's only in for what is in it for it. And so, like you said, a family, before you get married, you've been raised in the family. You have parents, you have siblings, if you are not a one-parent child. Then suddenly you get married, and of course you are starting a new, so it's like a tree. There's a new branch coming out.
Yeah.
Is that That's branch, why they say family tree.
Is that branch cut off from the main tree? But isn't it that now under the new developmental model we are running, we are cutting the branch. So the branch is hanging on its own.
And it will die.
And all the branches are on their own. And yet we expect that it will live.
Mm-hmm.
The tree would continue to be nourished, and the link will be there. So that fellow feeling, that kindness, that consideration, you get me, is waning.
Yeah.
Interestingly, I've had observed recently people who have, women who have had children, both locally and abroad, have had their moms, so that in this case their young grandmothers, suspend work for maybe like 3 months, sometimes even 6 months, to go care for, support them, because they must go back to work. And why I say so? Because you see, now in the advancement, we've looked for help, professional help. But in a lot of the cases, the professional help is not working. We have fixed cameras in our rooms to monitor the domestic assistance. But what they are doing to the children is not helping.
Yeah.
But we destroyed. So you see, I'm bringing this thing up because I've been doing quite a bit of thinking, asking myself that, what is the positive aspect of development and love and family? Because initially, maybe grandma at her peak of her career, because she's a grandma early, she may not be on retirement yet. So at her peak of her career, what is she willing to sacrifice for her children and her grandchildren? But she said no. Now it's about her. She wants to be the CEO before she retires.
Mm-hmm.
So you've sought your own. That's what I'm talking about, the tree.
Mm-hmm.
You sort yourself out. But initially, in the traditional concept of love, the grandma is around.
Yeah.
Of course, most of them were not working.
They were home.
At home.
If
it was a farm, she knew when she'd go to the farm.
She was trading.
She knew when she'd go to trade. Or
had
stuff.
Control over her time.
Exactly.
So that made it easy for her to take time off and be with you, support with your children, help with her grandchildren.
Exactly.
It actually also helps with bonding and passing on the values that the family has, so that at the end of the day, these children grow up. One of the first things that does to them is it helps them learn their local language, because she will speak local language to them.
Which is lost.
Yes, now we've lost it significantly. You know, I mean, a lot of our children raised up in the urban communities can't start with English. You know, eventually they pick up one or two local languages. Yeah. Previously, it was the other way around. Yes. And I think we also did ourselves some harm those days when we were in school, where they said, we don't speak vernacular here.
Yes.
You know, yes. I think it's one of the most horrible things we did to ourselves.
We did those things, it's true.
Yeah, you know, we should
when you speak vernacular, you are punished.
Yes. Which wasn't the best thing. We wanted every child to learn English, which is fine.
Yes.
Because the courses were taught in English. But we should also have emphasized, maybe we should have had dedicated times where the children spoke only local languages.
Exactly.
You know, and what, see the beauty of the children that grew up in the barracks, in the military camps, because they came from different cultures and communities, they ended up speaking so many local languages.
It's true.
And it's a big plus. You cannot trade it off for anything.
When we were in school, there was one guy called Tewas, or his nickname. He spoke, and you know, he shares my surname, Mensah.
Right.
You know, Mensah, we cut across tribes.
Yeah, exactly.
So he will speak Ewe well, speak Hausa, speak Banti, speak Gan well.
Right.
So you wonder, where is
this Mensah coming from?
You know?
Yeah. And you see, that's what we should have done. And I think, well, it's still not too late. We should go back and do some of these things. Let's encourage the children. I think now the schools must have local language. And you see, the schools are doing local language in the academic setting.
Exactly, which is
my children have learned Gan and got grade ones and twos, and they are nowhere near Gan speaking children.
Yeah.
You know,
they can write it.
Well, yes, they can write it.
But
we need to get to that point where they are immersed.
Exactly.
So the immersion is so, so important. Then a community where they speak Gan, they speak Ewe, they speak Twi, they speak Hausa, they speak Dagbani, everything. So that, and then we see that we are one people. Again, I think that was one of the beauties of long-term boarding houses.
Yeah.
I mean, today they're doing 3 years.
Yeah.
3 years is good, but it could be better.
Yeah.
You know, those days we did 5 and 7 years.
Yeah.
Now, staying together with people who speak different languages from all over the country over a long time gives you a certain sense of relationship which you won't get elsewhere. You get to appreciate the people better. You get to, how do I describe this? You rub off on each other and a lot of the positives get picked up. Of course, people also pick up a lot of negatives.
Yeah.
But what that does to us is, one, it brings us to that point of a sense of oneness as a people, and we appreciate each other. Now, when we're talking about lost culture, and we're going to come back to this, I just noticed that we haven't lost everything.
Okay.
I mean, we still have a lot that we do. We still maintain our traditional dishes. And I'm excited that today there's a lot of hype about our dishes, your bangkun, your fufu, your gari foto, everything Ghanaian, I think we still cherish.
Okay.
And there's I don't want
now
to believe
the one is the kokonte.
Yeah, kokonte. Unfortunately, I haven't gotten there yet. I have to quickly catch up. You know, but and these are healthy meals, good meals, and we must endorse them.
Yes.
Our festivals, our chieftaincy system, I think we can do better. But you see, the fact that there's that respect and it's been maintained, our traditional way of dressing, our kente, our putting on cloth, and I'm glad the secondary schools still do it. You know, they put on the cloth for church service on Sundays, on special occasions. You know, I think those are beautiful, and they are our culture, you know, and we must maintain them. When you talked about the things hidden in mysticism, my mind went to taboos. Taboos, in the real sense of the word, were meant to be prohibitive instructions to protect society.
Okay.
What was missing in taboos was the lack of explanation.
The why.
The why. Why must you do this? Why must you not whistle in the dark? Why must you not be singing when you are bathing? Why must you not do X, Y, and Z? If we just took a little time to explain those taboos, it will make a lot of sense, and people will begin, oh, okay, as I'm singing, the soap will enter my mouth and blah, blah, blah. You know? So then you go like, oh, this makes sense after all. But if they tell you that if you do this, a ghost will catch you.
Your mother will die.
Those things didn't help. And then when people realize that, no, okay, I don't want to belong to this space where my mother would die, my father would die and all of that. Okay, so I shut the door to that thing altogether, which is not necessarily the right way to address them. But so coming back to our way of expressing love and all that we believe in, we are African in our upbringing, where we come from, whatever we are. And the African's culture differs from the Caucasian's culture in different ways. What we need to do is to appreciate what our positive cultures are. And Mary Rose did mention that it's not everything that's positive. There are certain elements of our culture that we must flush out. You know, it used to be believed, or it is believed, that one of the things that was associated with our chieftaincy were human sacrifices and all of that. You know, those are not positive. So the chiefs must now make people see that, no, we don't believe in it, we don't practice it. You know, the things that are still hidden in mysticism must all be brought into the light, so that the people say, oh, yeah, we now understand why this is done, and we think it is good. We embrace it. That way, if they call you to become a chief, you won't be running away, which is what has ended up happening to us. So all the good people who should have become chiefs and brought very positive influences to society ran away. And then they left all the riffraffs to take over. And I'm not saying this in any negative way. I'm just saying that the people that the community identified as those who could bring very good developmental elements into the community didn't want to take the role, which was unfortunate, because this is a leadership role, and they represented that community, they represented the people, they had a voice at different levels, and they also had influence within those communities. So it's good that we just unravel all the mysteries. I've gone in many circles, and but I think that's important as we appreciate who we are as a people and our way of demonstrating love.
Awesome, I still want us to look at this element I was speaking about the dimensions of the family. You know, so even it brings in the issue of in-laws,
right?
In the family setting, in-laws, outlaws.
I'm not sure we have outlaws,
Vicky. Because we're the outlaws.
Well, we have decided to outlaw some of the people. Yes.
It is right to bring up that some in-laws are difficult to deal with. Some people do not sanction or approve of some marriages, and so raise difficulty for the people who they are married to.
Right.
But speaking in the generality of the expression, for some people, like we said earlier, you have siblings, you've come from a family, but the moment you marry now, it's as though it's just us. They want to cut off everybody. I want us to look at that one, because that's also an expression of love.
Right.
And the Ghanaianness embraces the family. The contemporary context excludes the extended family, the siblings, and even the parents, and pushes them at arm's length. Is that how it's supposed to be? In view of like what I'm saying now, people are trying to get their moms to come support them when they give birth, because they're having challenges with getting good domestic assistance or helps, even though they are paying them, and some are paying big money, even though they go to agencies. Still, yesterday I happened to see a lady, I was buying something from a shop and in the neighborhood, and this help I think she had picked the little girl about 3-year-old from the from school. And the girl was trying to open the door of the supermarket. And she was shouting on her and screaming. And I was like, you know, all their frustrations they bring on. And, and they spend more time
with the children.
With their children, because they are with them from morning to evening till the parents come.
Yeah.
And then weekends, sometimes the parents are always going to school or to an activity. Mm-hmm. So they are they have become the caregivers. They are, though they're supposed to be secondary caregivers, they have become the primary caregivers.
Yeah.
You know, so why I'm concerned is that we are putting all our resources in letting them go to school, get a good education, get a good job, but they are not fit for purpose. They are not holistic. And we are cutting off the family lines that would bring in the values, the bonding, make them human, make them balanced. You get me? So at the end of the day, the person is just what you are seeing. So you get drawn to the lady, oh, she's good at her job, she's rising, she's earning good money, she's smart, smart in quote. But that's all there is to her. She can't keep home. And we'll come to that, the domestic element.
Yeah.
How do we manage domestic things when it comes to the concept of love? So she can't even keep her home. And so she must outsource that. She needs a help. If there's no help and just the two of you, the house will be dirty. The bed will not be laid. The house will not be swept. Somebody must, third party must come and do it. You know, I'm trying to, for us to see how can we still evolving, maintain these aspects where children are being well trained to know how to keep a home.
Yeah.
To know how to manage a family.
Mm.
To know how to be supportive. Marie, let me hear you on this.
Yeah, as you're talking.
Sorry, please hold your breath. I think we need to take a break. But I mean, after break, so please hold your thoughts and then we'll come back. So, listeners, take a short break and we'll be right back. But please, you can bring your thoughts to us on 0549-986-996. Again, 0549-986-996 via WhatsApp or Telegram. What is your concept of the Ghanaian expressions of love? How does love brewed in the Ghanaian pot look like to you? And what must we do and what must we not do? What must we imbibe? What must we not imbibe? Keep your thoughts coming and we'll share with the rest of the world. So please stick and stay. I'm in the studio with Mrs. Marosaki and Mrs. Sylvester Stegbaya. My name is Michael Mensah and we are on Love Brewed in the Ghanaian pot. We'll be right back.
City 97.3 Accra.
Enjoy the best of convenience and security on AT Money. Carry out all your mobile money related transactions on the go. Send or receive cash, pay bills, move cash in and out of your bank account from anywhere at any time. Airtel Tigo Money, your most secured and trusted mobile money service.
City 97.3. More variety.
The city is alive on 97.3.
Obi wona ho fenti Obi bedo obi woni ka senti Obi bedo obi woni nanti undi Mede mede o seni awuti ara
Mede o seni awuti ara Seni onya mi bo uno ara Wonfo muzo na uzu benyine chino Mede o seni awuti ara Mede o seni awuti ara Seni onya mi bo uno ara Wonfom so na wuzu benyi na chinu mide o se ni awuti ara Thank you.
feyo nyamina chedi kasa uni midye ya depa nandi ufefe fato biyade midye mida usenia utiara
mida usenia utiara senyo nyamibo unwara wafu usuna usume njina jino mida usenia utiara mida usenia utiara senyo nyamibo unwara wafu usuna usume njina jino mida usenia utiara. Mido senya utiara, senyo nyamibo unwara. Mufu musuna usubengi nechinu. Mido senya utiara, mido senya utiara, senyo nyamibo unwara. Mufu musuna usubengi nechinu. Mido senya.
Yeah. Welcome back, and thank you for sticking and staying. Love Brewed in the Ghanaian Pot. Now let me take a few of the messages that have come in. This is from Pastor Ne Okainlami from Valley View University at OUB. It says, good morning, Farm Life team. Love is a verb. To love is to sacrifice. And you can see love being manifested by Ghanaian men and women. Awesome. So he's looking at sacrifice as an expression of love. That's Pastor Lami sharing with us. Thank you very much, ever so kindly, Pastor Lami. Happy birthday, Mrs. Joyce Ekwamwa Boateng, team leader procurement at the Ministry of Trade and Industry. Best wishes from Lawrence, Mrs. Ekwamwa Boateng. All right. Good morning, Farm Life team. Love grows. Some ways Ghanaians express love is one. They buy iPhone for a loved one. And use Yam phone. So they will buy the iPhone for you, but they will use a Yam. Two, pay fees for a loved one and defer his or her semester. Wow. Three, care for loved ones, family members, more than one's own family. Wow. Four, demand all needs from loved one and not giving nothing. Demand what? All needs. From loved one. Okay, when they have needs, they demand all the needs from the loved one, but they give nothing in return. All right, it seems we are not seeing love as it is, and I say love grows, and it is a give and take affair, and we need to create the right environment for growth. Love is a process than an event. Keep doing the great job for family health. Thank you. That's also Pastor Neo Kainlami from Valley View University. This morning, Pastor, we are privileged with your good support and inputs. We are grateful. God bless you. Good morning, Farm Life. Thank you so much for this topic. Okay, so much for this topic. I'm now 31 years old and dating this guy for 2 years now. Last year, we planned settling down, but he said he will do everything, but never sign any documents from the court. Even if church wedding, he won't sign anything. And this is really affecting me. I don't know what to do now. Please help me. So please take note. Why won't the guy sign? He doesn't want any legal dimension of things, because marriage is not just social or cultural, it's also legal. Yeah. That is what gives each of you entitlement to each other's well-being, property, and all the things that identify you.
If we all acknowledge
that there are key issues that will have to be carefully considered before one makes a life partner choice, and that there are some or many serious errors that are made in the process, may I know why the overwhelming majority, in fact nearly all counselors, tend to force the couple to remain together in spite of the obvious debilitating and catastrophic errors of choice that have been made? I would appreciate an honest, true, and genuine response. That's Abner Usu from Accra, Newton. So please take note. Please be noting them down so we can address them. All right. So maybe we can, or can you begin with Abner Usu's question? She says that, why do counselors still ask people to stay if they've made the wrong choice?
So is that counselors asking people to stay in a relationship?
In the marriage.
In a marriage.
Yes. because otherwise after a relationship, you know, there are no real commitments. But in a marriage, I presume the marriage relationship, says if we acknowledge that personal choices that critical and so when the person has made a wrong choice, it's the she puts a force in quotes.
Okay, so I think, I mean, one, what we are trying to address here, first of all, is to avert getting to that point exactly. where you have to go your separate ways in a marriage.
Yes.
So if we take all the critical steps in the preparation, in the selection, yes. in the decision making,
yes.
we may not get to that point where when there are debilitating and catastrophic errors in the marriage, you will have to go your separate ways. I mean, nobody really wants a marriage that is abusive and frustrating and makes one person a victim. But where we have a situation where it's totally gotten out of hand, I think the first thing counselors recommend is a separation,
yes.
especially for the safety of whoever is being the victim.
Yes.
So, and that is important, especially when one party's life is in danger.
Yes.
You know, we've unfortunately seen situations where people have lost their lives because they were being abused. They try to keep a secret in the name of faith or religion,
yeah.
and eventually their spouses ended up killing them. That yeah. should never happen.
Yeah.
So, and that is maybe just what I want to say at this point. So we must first take the precautions so that when you are seeing the red lights in the relationship, you don't say, I love him, and marry him,
yeah.
only for him to now become a threat to your life. Or I love her, only for her to make your life very miserable. Exactly. We need to take the precautions.
What I would want to add is that marriage is not a death sentence.
Yes.
You are not marrying for you to be worse off. So, rightly choosing the right partner is important. Secondly, we have become, to a certain degree, too self-minded. Apart from the abuse or abusive situation that Sly has just mentioned, in certain cases, it is not so debilitating and catastrophic as we may want to believe or think it to be. Sometimes it's our worldview. Sometimes it's our mindset. Sometimes it's our upbringing. Sometimes it's our inability to manage our differences effectively. Sometimes it is our unwillingness to evolve or to make a reasonable compromise. So when it comes to the issue of marriage, that's why we speak about pre-marriage counseling and we speak about marriage counseling. People think that pre-marriage counseling can never be enough because it's only preparing you for an event or a process or a journey that you are yet to undertake. So it only prepares you, and your preparation is important. But when you are in it, you need guidance to go along. That is where often people don't want that. People who don't want anyone to hear about what is going on in your marriage because they think it's a shame, it's defeat. But hey, who tells you? There's no perfect lunch. Everybody goes through the process of adjusting and bonding and building a together. So if you are not able to do it as a couple, you need to seek third party help.
Yeah.
But oftentimes people are not willing to seek third party help early enough.
Yeah.
Till the thing gets to a point where now it's out of coverage area or to be remedied. Because if there are differences, initially it starts, people may not be very intense in their emotions and do the wrong things. There are people who become abusive who were not so initially.
Yeah.
And which we condemn outright, that nobody should be abusive, physical, verbal, economic. Emotional. Some people hold money, emotional, yeah. and what have you. But sometimes it's because of their maladaptive tendencies that yeah. get them there.
Exactly.
They don't know how to handle the thing. And they think, because you are two adults, if you're a child, they'll say, I won't sit here or go here. They now try to control the other person yeah. to get what they need or want. And at that point, the person is a full matured being, capable and able to make and take their own decisions. And so at that point, it's reasoning, it's convergence, it's compromise, it's understanding. And when those key elements break down, what you are likely to have is chaos.
Yeah.
And so the chaos can be interpreted differently by different people
yeah.
based on the scenario and the circumstances. So I don't think any marriage counselor would want to put somebody or keep somebody in a relationship that is hurtful and destructive to them. But because marriage is a long-term thing and it's something meant for a lifetime, nobody will just come and break what you can untie.
Mm-hmm.
So every counselor will first try to see what they can untie. If it's impossible, then the obvious becomes. But sometimes, because people have taken a situation that this is what I want, I'm not getting immediately, then I'm out. But you grew up with your siblings. I tell people always, you grew up with your siblings. Did they always do everything?
From the family.
Yes. Did they always do what you wanted?
Yeah.
But because this one is not, I think we've discussed it here, the blood before the bond. Because that one is a blood relationship, you hold it. Even when they treated you unfairly, even when they took what was not theirs, you forgive them.
Right.
But because it's a bond relationship, you think that, no, I can't stand it. I won't take it. But that's where is a stretch of who you are. Your endurance, your tolerance, your patience, your forgiveness, your overextending, what we call foot, forgiving, overlooking, overlapping, and tolerating. All that will come into play. And so how you've been prepared before that time helps. How both of you are mutually willing to undergo change. You cannot be successfully married when you are the same. It's not about sin or wrong, but it's about compromise. So unless you are willing and able to compromise in some ways. Somebody likes their tea hot. Somebody likes their tea cold. There must be compromise.
Yeah.
Will they drink lukewarm, or someday only the hot one will drink? And so,
because everybody must drink what they like.
Exactly.
It doesn't kill the other partner.
You know.
And it's also important to note that if one party keeps saying, I don't want our matters out there, where he's abusing you or she's abusing you and doesn't want you to even share. That is a manipulative partner, someone who actually is imprisoning you.
Exactly.
So you're suffering in the relationship and you can't seek help because you're afraid that you'll be angry. Why did you tell somebody?
Yeah.
The two parties must agree at the very onset that we must have somebody we go to when we have challenges.
Exactly.
Because even though we love ourselves 150%, we will have days when we disagree. We'll have days when we have challenges. Who do we choose to talk to in situations like that? That's extremely helpful, and that decision must be taken early. And it mustn't change along the line.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying don't change the person, but don't ever come to a point where we say we are no longer talking to anybody. We must solve the problem ourselves or it's finished. No, we must always have someone who can guide you and provide you the needed counsel.
And I think it's a strong point. It's a very strong point to make. Mary, please come in.
Yeah, to add to it, I just wanted a lady.
Yeah.
To understand that she says that why do counselors let people still stay in debilitating and catastrophic situations? But counselors are not there, or they don't come to basically counselors are supposed to help come alongside people going through all sorts of situations that they need extra hand or caregiving, and that's what counselors do. And when it comes to marriage counseling, we counsel to help build and sustain marriages as much as we can.
Yeah.
But we are not there to prevent divorce. If it has to come to that point, you have to exhaust all the necessary lifelines that you need to be able to get to the point where you know that this is a wrong decision. And the question I was even asking myself, upon what basis or with what factors do you say that it was a wrong choice? I think my fellow colleagues here have said a lot that, is it because of you? Is it because of your worldview or the way you feel? There's a local thing that adage or whatever they say. It's your young kumwa, it's like if it is your friend, it's like the person is a tree. He doesn't have any feeling. But if it is you, is it from your perspective that you are saying that it's a wrong choice? Also, you need if you think you've gone to one counselor and you can try another one. And if it doesn't work out, then you take a decision. But and I don't think that you have to envelope all counselors in the same thing that counselors, even when you are going through that situation, they don't want you to go yourself, even when the thing is obviously collapsing. You have to go through all the necessary situation, unless you have made up your mind that they are counseling you, but you don't listen. There are people who they counsel and they just don't listen. And practice what they're supposed to do. So they just want out, whatever the situation is. So it is you and not the counselor. Yeah. So rethink your situation and all that. Yeah.
I think it's very to note that it's not everybody who is actually a qualified counselor.
Yeah.
And it's nobody who calls himself or herself a counselor who has knows how to counsel.
Yeah. There was something I wanted to say. You asked the question before we started even reading these things that I wanted to talk about the fact that why people have this kind of view of being kind of, let me say, the nuclear kind of family and they cut off all the, cutting the branches and all that kind of thing. And what came to my mind, you know, sometimes even in church where people are pronounced man and wife and all that, you hear the pastor said, hey, everybody stay away from them and give them space, you know, that kind of thing. There's room for that, but it can be misinterpreted because, yes, there's a room for them to try and develop their own shell. But at the same time, yes, bonding. But at the same time, there's a need for them to know that there's a place for them to bond. But it gets to a point that you have to also open up your arms and embrace the rest of the family or the society because you don't live in isolation. And I think over the period, things that people tell us make us. So that Bible says, take heed what you hear. You keep hearing some of these things and you think that your family is not important. But your family is very important. You go to places and it's become kind of a common statement to hear that, hey, leave them alone. Leave them alone. Leave them alone. You know, yes, you leave them alone, but then you still live in a society and you might be connected in. So it's a question of understanding or understanding how to connect to society as the same time bonding as a couple and knowing your values and what you are together for and working it. You know, you should be able to be multifunctional, do everything. Like the way the body is very complex. We are doing so many things at the same time, but we don't even realize that that's what the body is doing.
You are breathing, you are thinking, you are doing
so many things at the same
talking.
Time. Yes, and so we should be able
seeing,
to
you're smelling.
Have that ability. Yeah. Yes, we should be able to have that ability to harness our social skills, you know, in every way. We should be able to interact well and be more open-minded and take good decisions. It boils down on good decisions. Sometimes the kind of people you are moving with and all the kind of things that you are hearing can throw you off. Okay. And just one word, sometimes just even one word can throw you off and you realize that it becomes so. The person next time is also telling you, oh, this happened to me. And my friend said this. And my friend said that. You know, I remember I was speaking to somebody who was having issues. And then the person that was talking to her is not married. But she listens to somebody who is not married. Her friend tells her, don't do this. Oh, do that. Don't do this. Don't.
And she is married.
It can disturb you because the question I ask is, this person is not married. How can you listen to the person who is not married? Does she have the experience? Does it know? It is one thing reading something and one thing experiencing something, another thing experiencing something. You know, you haven't gone through it before, yet you are giving people advice what to do and all that. So we have to be very careful.
I wanted to
filter what we hear. Yeah.
You know, they say that he or she who feels it knows it.
Yeah.
They said, walk in the mile of somebody's shoes and you see whether it is worth condemning them. If you've not been there, it's a whole different ballgame. Yeah, oh, if I'm there, I'll do this. When
I'll
you get it right, you can't do half of what that person has. It's like, please carry
on. So I wanted to address the lady who had the concern about the gentleman who didn't want to sign anything.
Yes.
You know, per our laws as a nation and in many countries, when you're getting married, you must document and sign, you know. So there's a legal requirement there. Now, if you really love somebody, why is signing a marriage certificate or committing in writing a problem to you? What is his reason? And I wish he had given the reason he was given for not wanting to sign. But if it's a requirement, he must do it. If he's not willing to do it, she must consider whether she wants to continue with him. Because if you're going out with this guy who doesn't want to sign any commitment to you, the day he decides to walk away, he says, well, I never committed to you in the first place.
Exactly.
So that's the red flag, and she's got to look at it critically and take a decision or advise herself appropriately.
But I think even that, you know, we have traditional marriage, which is also acceptable. And then we have marriage under ordinance, which is the going to court or signing the paper.
Right.
Even though marriage, the traditional marriage, you don't sign, there's some law that governs it. Even
there's a law that governs it.
Yes, but there's a law, so you might not sign.
No, but even now, people are being encouraged under the customary marriage to go and
to
sign.
Go and sign. Yeah. You know,
because then under the customary law, you are entitled to a portion of your spouse's whatever, and all. So it still holds
some but
if she can share the reason the gentleman is giving,
it's very critical, because see, like we say, the Mohammedan marriage, customary marriage, are potentially polygamous.
Mm-hmm.
So if the person has an inkling to be becoming polygamous, he will not want to go under the ordinance.
Yes.
Because that one issue stated.
That's my point. So and like so rightly, like you're saying, she should find out what his reasons are. Because it could be that because a ceremony is a ceremony. You want to marry, you marry three others.
Yeah, because
or have some side chicks and not have any and not have to feel bad or have to be held liable or legally.
I told you that I won't sign. So
yes. So what's your big deal?
If he tells her that I want to have multiple wives, then she knows that this is what the guy wants.
Yeah.
Do I want to marry somebody like that? If she goes into it, she knows that she has agreed to his terms, but it shouldn't be held to his chest. And then after she's decided to marry him, he says, well, I mean, next month I'm bringing in the second wife. We did never discussed it, but it must be discussed. His intentions must be made very clear, and then she must convince herself that she's buying into it. If she doesn't, she finds her way.
Perhaps he wants to eat his cake and have it.
You know, talking about the Ghanaian way of expressing love. I mean, in the past, it was not really a requirement. The family goes to do the traditional. I mean, we are talking traditional. The family goes to do the traditional marriage.
Yes.
Or the customary, what we call the customary marriage.
Yes.
And then you move to the person's house.
Yes.
And it's marriage.
It's marriage.
A lot of people are married like that.
Yes.
Now, because of our Christian values, we believe that we have to bring our marriage before God, so not necessarily going into a church.
Is it just the Christian value, or because the ordinance is not just Christian?
I'm talking in different levels.
Okay.
So the Christian, if somebody is a Christian, if you're a Christian, you know that you have to bring your marriage before God, so you take it to church and go and have it. We have people who also want to legalize their marriage, so they go to the extent, they'll go either to Registrar General or wherever that they have to go and make sure that they sign, not necessarily having any priest to even pray over them. Others, because of finances and all that, they also go and sign quietly, and or what we have church blessing, then they can even have mass weddings and all that kind of thing. So there's different categories, and I don't know. That is the fact that is a financial issue. That's why he doesn't want to sign.
No,
or,
from what she's saying,
he says that he doesn't want
to
sign.
No, from what she's saying, he says the ceremony, yes, but the signing, no.
He doesn't want to sign.
So maybe we can even bring it back to our Ghanaianness.
Exactly. The white wedding.
Marie Rose talked about the fact that traditionally, the two families come together, they perform the ceremony, the two of you are married. Now, we notice that from that ceremony, it's not that simple to break that marriage.
Yes. Exactly.
You know, they will tell you, go and bring all the people who sat there.
Exactly.
And then tell them your reason now for wanting to walk away.
Yes.
You know, so that actually commits you. It's strongly binding.
Yes.
You know, and They if you decide that, okay, I'm going to even marry multiple, they will tell you, okay, can you come back and tell everybody why? Because when you came and asked the hand of our daughter in marriage, you did not tell us that you intend to be adding a few more down the line. You know, so it's important. It's important that we respect that process and see the very strong family values and cultural values that underpin the traditional marriage. So even if he thinks going the traditional way is what he wants to do, What he needs to do is to give the assurance that I am committing fully, and these are my terms. She must ask the questions about, do you intend to marry other wives down the line?
Yes.
So that she's clear in her mind. Because, you know, I used to work with a young lady who belongs to the Islamic faith. She chose to become a second wife. And I asked her why. She told me her reasons. So she has subscribed to it. And I said, are you happy for the man to marry other wife? I said, yes, that is what we believe. So it's important that you are aligned with what the person thinks.
Exactly.
You know, so that then you are at peace with yourself. If he says, no, I just want to marry you and I'm committing to that, but I just don't want to sign, maybe they could have some more conversation. But it's important that if it's the traditional way of marrying he wants to go through, they discuss it thoroughly and agree to it. If she's not in agreement, she should let him know that maybe I belong to this faith, and in my faith we believe that we sign the marriage register, etc. So we've got to come to a compromise on this.
Yeah, you know, like Marie said, thing is, it goes beyond. It's also about our Ghanaianness. Initially, it was a traditional family marriage. Then we introduce the ordinance, and then with the ordinance comes also the church marriage. But not every ordinance is church-based.
Right.
You get me? And why the ordinance came about and why the registering of the marriage was necessary was because of, once again, people not...
All the traditional things when it comes to divorce, because now when there was
divorce or separation or death, then there were issues.
Yeah.
Family comes and takes all the entitlements of the, or the resources of the husband or the spouse and leave and cast the wife out and all the acrimony. So it's from that angle that, you know, the law doesn't have middle ground. It's out of that that the law was carved about the ordinance, that's to protect the well-being of spouses, whether male or female. That once you've married, then, as it were, you sign the marriage register, then it binds you to each other.
Exactly.
And then whatever you have. But now, because they've passed other laws, because of bearing in mind the traditional dimensions, if you die interstate, or you died and or you are married customary, and there's even separation or death, there, I think there's a proportion.
It's
protected. You know what I mean? I think
it's a way of cushioning.
Yes, the families,
partners in the the parties in the marriage. Yeah.
Time so, really flies, eh?
Yeah.
Happy glorious birthday in advance to my sweetheart, Mrs. Eunice Kofi. Long life and unending prosperity from your husband Mauli in Cove Town. Happy birthday, Mrs. Eunice Kofi, from your sweetheart in Cove Town. I've loved genuinely, and at the end, I'm lied to, cheated on, and guilt-tripped. Sad thing is, I am married to her already, and when I push getting answers, she says she has never found me sexually attractive, reason why she has been cheating. I'm confused. I feel abused and made the victim even in this. From my namesake, Mensah in Kumasi. Mensah, please call us and let's see how we can help you. Often some of these things, when they happen, they are root causes. Maybe the person already had she was actually sexually active, having multiple partners before she married you, and it was never disclosed. So, you know, marriage does not cure infidelity.
Yes, yes.
That's the thing. Whether I'm male or female, people think that, oh, if you're having you must be restored.
Yes.
You must. It's become a habit. Like a broken was like a habit. Anything, it starts with attraction, attachment, and then it gets to a point where you become even addicted. There's even sexual addiction.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Good morning. Please, I want to comment on the topic marriage. My cardinal view is that every individual or to be couple should understand that marriage is a union, but also a union of no return. This is what counselors should inspire. It is not a child's play. It is for matured adults. This is Kodria from Enyinim. Thank you very much, Kodria. He's saying that marriage is a long haul, and that is actually what it is. Because if you are going in,
make up your mind.
You don't just go in like, oh, I'm going to experiment.
Yeah.
So that's why we are saying and having this conversation that you must choose carefully.
Yeah.
and choose intentionally. Of course, you can't know everything and be very certain, but if you go in with matra makwe mentality, yeah, then you run away, because they are now going to live your life as one, two different people. Now come, and now people think that the contemporary dimension is to cohabit, and if it works or doesn't work out, that one also has its own dimensions, which often is not positive, because at the end of the day, there's no commitment. You want the commitment to come later after you've started living together, and people have actually, in the traditional concept as well, there are some like that cohabitation.
I don't know whether traditionally we embrace it as something culturally acceptable. Because again, like we talked about marriage being between two families, it's important that we always make sure there's that involvement, and then the couple get that support.
Yeah, okay.
So we must always encourage people that are cohabiting. I think most families do. Okay, you've had a child with this guy. Do you want to marry him? If you want to marry him, let his family come over and do the knocking and present the drinks and all of that. So from that cultural perspective, the family always wants to protect their child, you know, their own, because if you cohabit with this guy and he becomes abusive and does all kinds of things, officially we don't know him as your spouse.
Yes.
And he can walk away and there's very little we can do about it.
Exactly.
But if he had come to introduce himself, if he came with his, and usually that's why even the knocking, you don't go alone.
Yeah.
You go with your relative, you go with an uncle, you go with an auntie, you go with somebody.
Yeah.
So they know you come from a family.
Yeah.
Then they can also say, okay, Mufi Kroben, so where do you come from?
Yeah.
They get to know the family.
Yeah.
And after that knocking, usually the practice is that the family then goes to actually do their own checks. You know, maybe today is not happening as much as it used to happen previously. But the day you come and present yourself and say, I have found a beautiful lady in this house, I am interested in her, these are my drinks to say that my interest has been registered.
Yeah.
The family will follow up and get to find out a little bit about you. So cohabitation, I am not sure our culture fully supports it.
Okay.
Even though people have done it over the years, it puts both parties at risk one way or the other.
Very, very true.
You are disadvantaged in many ways. There's no commitment, and that is the biggest risk.
I think that is the reason why it also brings out that this the situation where when somebody passes, let's say the woman passes, you live with somebody, cohabitation, you've had children, blah, blah, you haven't done the traditional thing, they'll let you marry the dead body. You see?
Yes.
These are the things that, so it's a way they try to correct something.
Yeah, so that it's actually supposed to be a deterrent.
Yes.
You know, so that don't take us for granted.
Don't take people's children.
Yes. You know, so
I think that is a beautiful Ghanaian thing, because then it places emphasis on the value of marriage.
Exactly.
The importance of doing the right thing.
And the value of marriage, that you don't just see a girl by the wayside and say,
encourage her to her home and start having children with her.
You are starting a new family.
People may be looking at it from the human rights angle and say, why do you let him marry the dead body? But I think the message they're trying to send there is, don't do that kind of thing to our child.
Yeah.
You come back and pay for it.
Yeah.
You know, so we must respect the tradition of properly marrying.
Awesome. So the lady is cutting back. She says, because the guy's family,
they're against against it.
Then that is a double red flag.
Why is the guy's family against it?
Because that's what we are saying. So it opens
leeway for him to do anything,
for them to maybe bring, it's possible they'll bring another woman to him later. You know, they are, sadly, when
you look at the issue of ethnicity,
I think that's the last area of looking at ethnicity, and then the issue of, domestic help. Is it part of our love dynamic for men to help at home? You know, so let me, let's just address the one. So I think that it's a red flag. If they don't want him to sign, and he also does not want to sign, madam,
and you want him to sign,
and you want him to sign to guarantee yourself, because you see, under the ordinance, there's a huge guarantee. Under the customary rights, there is some covering for the spouse,
right.
But the I think we've gotten a lawyer here who has given us more details, but the value is not the same.
Right.
And also, once those under those conditions, it allows for, like I'm saying, if you are looking for a one man one woman situation, some of the others do not offer it.
Yeah.
And once that signing has not done, anything is possible when it comes to the element of that. So if you are concerned, like you said, some people don't mind, some people their belief system allows them to, that is fine. But if that's not the kind you want to subscribe to, then these are things you must consider. Sometimes people think that marriage is everything. Sometimes it's better not to marry than to marry and regret. But we push people and think so, and sometimes don't also think that what you have now, when you let it go, you can get another better one. It's a probability. But like we always say, there are options. So
and
you
don't
decide.
Hold on to something that poses a threat to you.
Exactly.
You know, if you don't feel secure now, don't assume it's going to
get better
after you marry him and his whole family thinks not signing is the way to go.
Yeah.
What I want to say about the domestic whatever, you know, the Ghanaian, the Ghanaian society or our tradition. When we're growing up, you know that the man is supposed to be the provider.
Okay.
And then that's why the women were at home and doing taking all those, taking care of the domestic stuff. And the man was supposed to provide for the home. And here, we have broken that ceiling. And so now the women are also working. Because in the past, we realized that, yes, they could start, but then they never finished well. The men never finished well. It ended up in beating and abuse and abuse and abuse of women because they thought they provided them with everything. And so they became their slaves and all that. So it has its downside. If the good part would have been that, it would have made the home more balanced if it really worked well, where the woman could, the understanding was there, where the woman could manage the home when the man also went out to fish for the house, you know, in that way. Because if you even see how we express, many times when a Ghanaian man is interested in a woman, he ends up trying to get her attention by getting her gifts and, you know, try to do all sorts of giving money.
Like the man
and now, and because we are in this modern world, those days was no iPhone, but they will do small things or sometimes, even go to the farm and when they are coming, bring you some foodstuff, something. But now people are into tech and technology, so iPhone, laptops, tickets abroad, and all that. Money. Now, Momo. Every time, Momo, and all that. Yes. So it is part of our culture. It's actually part of the Ghanaian culture, but maybe now it's being misused, if I should say, or overused in certain terms, because some ladies are just, you know, demanding. I think that it should be a free will thing. If somebody wants to give you a gift, it's not demand, it's a gift. A gift is a free will something. It's not something that you are demanding when the person is not your spouse. If the person is your spouse, then he has a responsibility to do that. But if you are just friends, there's no... But now you hear people, they are courting or they are in relationships or whatever, and then they are paying school fees, they are paying, giving parents whatever, paying, giving chop money and all those kind of things. It's there. I think they've been mixed.
It's a distortion.
Yeah.
Okay, awesome. Please help me. Okay, hi, Farm Life. I'm in a relationship where my fiance talks to my friends about me instead of talking to me, and it hurts badly. I have tried talking to him severally, but he's not changing. What do I do, please? This is Flora from Butri. Wow. For the first thing, Flora, you can do is to find out from him why he does that. You know, there are some people who see their partners as their partners and not as their friends. And there are some people who express things more to others than they do to their
spouses. There are certain things maybe they would rather, because why? Maybe the friend, the person in question, doesn't want, it's about you. So he doesn't want to tell you. He has to tell somebody else to get advice. Or is it because it's talking about you to the person bad mouthing you, or is something that hurts him that he wants to air it out to somebody else instead of airing out to you and then trying to solve the problem? You have to know what specifically he talks about. If it's something about you that you have to know to help, then you have to encourage him. Maybe your communication is not too good. That is the reason why he doesn't feel free to be able to come and tell you how he feels about you, about certain things. Yes,
and for maybe you grow aggressive. Yes. Maybe you have extremely defensive.
And his only way of venting is to tell somebody. Yeah. Because we are different people. Because he's struggling with this. There's some people they can't bottle things in them because it sends them off. So they have to say it. And once they say it, they are free. So they find somebody and then talk about it. But if he's talking about it to just, like I said, bad-mouthing or making you look bad in the eyes of people, then it has to be addressed. Maybe you have to find a way of getting him to sit down and tell him that, I mean, why you do this and why not come up with alternative way. You cannot change the person, but you can appeal to the person in such a way that the person himself would decide to change, but you cannot change. So you can tell the person that this is what I found out, and I think that I am not too happy about it. What can we do? But is it because of something I do that puts you away? Or
she's actually indicated that she's tried talking to him several.
Yeah, by adding,
but he's not changed.
So maybe she
needs to. She please get to us and we'll try and support you as we can. But they need to get third party help because in such an instance. But like what Marie said is very key.
Yes.
Maybe the communication lines. Maybe how you behave when he brings things to your notice that are not right. Maybe you're all defensive. Maybe he goes into equalization. Maybe could be anything. So check yourself as you are checking him.
Yeah.
All right. Hi, Farm Life. I'm in a relationship with my family. Okay,
no, you've
read
that.
The second one. Nachucho from Nachucho Amua in Sweden says, thank you, Farm Life, for coaching and shaping our homes. Today is my husband's birthday. Please wish him for me and tell him I love him no matter what. Where are we? Oh, that's all. So this, so Nacho, the husband of Nachucho Amua from Sweden, happy birthday to you. Nachucho says she loves you no matter what. All
she
right,
should
so,
have mentioned his
yes.
name.
Okay. So how can you be a revolutionarist when you are so traditionally stuck in your old ways? Some call it foreign influence. A quarter truth, I agree, but I call it reality of life. Contesting everything practice as culture, tradition, and religion. If you begin to recognize and live reality and not perceptions and stereotypes, then maybe you might transit well. That's an accuracy. All right, thank you for your contribution. That's a loaded one. Hi, Farm Life. Oh, no. Okay, so it's done. All right. Wow, so the time is already gone. Please, your closing comments. Let me start from Marie. in 30 seconds.
Yeah, I mean, our traditions are good. Our tradition, the Ghanaian tradition, is good. I think that we have to just avoid the extreme things that goes to hurt and put fear and all that in us. But our way of love is good because it's endearing, time tested. We can see those who really practice good love in the past were able to keep their marriages for a long time.
Awesome. Yeah. Thank you. That's the voice of Mrs. Mayorosaki. Thank you. Sly, your closing comment, please.
Right. So we didn't get the chance to talk about our engagement ceremonies.
Yes.
It's one of the ceremonies that demonstrates the richness of how we love and show love and how it brings two families together. Mm. Our traditions are very well thought through, and I agree with Marie Rose. They are the very good things in there. We must hold on to them. Let's flush out the ones that do not help us, and let's strengthen our family values and build the love that we have as a people, as Africans, as Ghanaians. Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you very much. That's the voice of Mr. Sebasa Sebaya. I want to wish a belated birthday to Professor Richard Phillips alias Alanus, the director of KCCL Kumasi. Happy birthday, Alanus. We love you so much. You're my roommate of 4 years. God bless you. And also belated birthday to Mrs. Evangeline Folsing of Bank of Ghana. Yesterday was your birthday as well. May the Lord bless you guys and grant both of you a wonderful year in every way. I've been received with these two lovely people. My name is Michael Mensah. We have been ably produced by Philip Nilati and now Chika Caesar, with wonderful technical support from Okla Danso, ever so cool. Thank you for listening. Please stay tuned to The Big Issue, which is up next. Do have a wonderful weekend and remain blessed.